This is episode 15 of the Guardian Project Podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and I fit in on Aldrain because I'm a real-life fairy.
Whoa!
That was a good...
Wow, what? That was pretty good. And I'm the flavor text when you don't add salt. Not very flavorful. I'm your co-host, Brian Leithead.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering. What are we on the agenda today, Brian?
Well, we got a special guest today.
Guest away.
Come guest away.
Come guest away with me. I picked up on that.
You did. I'm so proud of you. We have an update from the Standard Fandom Legends tournament that took place over this past weekend. We also have a huge update from the State of the Game announcement for MTG Arena. Then we also have a question from Twitter.
Is it Twitter?
Not Twitter?
It's not Twitter.
We have a question.
It's from a text message from a follower.
Oh, whatever. It still fits in within the 320 standard.
A user submitted question.
Yeah. And then we're also going to have an update for War of the Spark prequel.
Yes, we will circle back on that. And that story is still going, so we will circle back on the end of it in a few weeks because we don't know when that story's ending.
Yeah, it's just going to keep going.
But we have a guest today on the podcast.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Chef Petro Drakopoulos. And I am a professional chef as well as a Magic player for about 24 years.
Does that make you a professional Magic player as well?
It makes me professionally proficient at playing Magic while being a professional chef.
Nice.
Ooh, all right. Okay. I like that.
So how excited are you that we have food tokens?
I mean, I've been waiting for it ever since Feast of the Unicorn. Shout out to Homelands. And I figured that food and Magic was going to be a thing, and I just was waiting around for it, and nice. It took long enough.
So if Wizards of the Coast ever needed like a catering job, are you just on top of that?
So many times have I cooked food with anticipation to give it to Wizards employees, and I usually get accosted at the door. So
now, when you think of food token, okay, if you were to put one dish on that token, what would it be?
So what are we doing? First off, it's an artifact, so that's odd, right?
Yeah.
So eating artifacts seem weird to me, or mechanics. So I would probably look at a pastry, right?
Wrong. It's your meatloaf. You have the best meatloaf recipe ever.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's a little awkward to put slabs of meatloaf on your table while you're playing Magic. But yeah, I would say... I think of it more of a metaphysical state where this is getting subsistence. So, I mean, think in terms of fantasy, right? Because we're in the Arthurian legend. So food could be like grapes and fruits and maybe even like peanuts or, you know, nuts in general.
I like nuts.
Yeah.
I like keto.
We have beans. We have the magical beans in the set.
We do. We do have magic beans in the set. Some fairy tale work. But fairy tales and food go hand in hand. So
really?
Yeah.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, every aspect of most every fairy tale has some form of food. So you got poison apple. You have when you look at the kings and courts, they're always in backdrops of large festivals or feasts. The huntsman, the eating of the three little pigs. If you want to talk about nursery rhymes and stories. If you want to talk about the original Grimm's fairy tales, and then you have Red Riding Hood, and then the wolf eating the grandmother, and the huntsman cutting the grandmother out, and things like that.
There's that card, Bacon to a Pie.
Bacon to a Pie.
That's a big pie. Yeah. So tell us about your restaurants. You have a few restaurants.
I do.
Plug them.
I am chef owner Republica in Berkeley. It's a gastropub that specializes in comfort American food, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free. I also have Brujo Tacos and Tapas, which is a upscale taco spot, unique, interesting takes on Spanish and Mexican flavors, and that's situated in the food hall in which I'm an operating partner for called Detroit Shipping Company. And then it was technically announced today, so there should be a news... I mean, this is a first. This is world first. You guys.
Okay,
get
coming
info.
To you live from the Guardian Project podcast.
Beep 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 beep. Breaking news.
I've just been announced as the executive chef and director of food and beverage for the Athenaeum Hotels and all of their restaurant holdings.
Congratulations!
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, nice, dude.
For sure, I had to give them a long list of dates in which I that I had on my docket for the next 6 months, and half of them were Magic tournaments.
I was just going to say, any, you know, Magic Fests and or, you know, MCQs.
Yeah, most definitely MCQs and Magic Fests. I think the interesting thing, especially in my industry, chefs are they're considered tortured artists. I don't get it because I don't consider myself an artist, but...
But you're definitely tortured.
I'm definitely tortured, yeah. And most chefs adopt drinking issues as well as drug abuse and live rock star lives. And I just cook food and then I go home and I play test standard.
He plays on Magic Arena because we were talking about it right before we started recording.
It's true.
I guess that's your cardboard crack, right? You know,
I mean, with the amount of money I spend on it, for sure.
Yeah.
Story of our lives.
Would you just rather admit to using drugs to admit playing Magic to your wife?
Most definitely. I think she would understand that more.
And right? Your wife doesn't play Magic, right?
Absolutely not. I marry the exact opposite of me. In fact, she believes that what I do is nonsense.
Oh.
And when we first started dating, I played World of Warcraft pretty heavily.
Okay.
And she would get mad because she was like, "Where are you going?" And I'm like, "I'm going to go on the computer." And she'd be like, "Are you going to go slay dragons with Bob? Is that what's happening right now?" And I go, "Yes, I am."
Yeah. It's a good time.
Slay dragons with Bob.
Yeah. It's a good time.
For sure.
So what are your thoughts?
Bob, our confidant, or a gentleman named Bob?
No, a gentleman named Bob.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But both work.
Both work.
Yeah. Our listeners probably understand the joke about Bob.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
So what about Bob?
What about Bob? So what do you think about Throne of Eldraine?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
This is fun. The power level is real. The creep is real. The cards are some of the highest quality we've seen in a long time. The mechanics are clean. I really, people are even talking about almost Urza's Saga, Urza's Block level of power. So it'd be interesting to see what Standard's going to be like for the next 6-7 months.
I'm excited to draft it a lot.
For sure.
Yeah.
I just want to open a Charming Prince. I almost said Prince Charming. Could have got sued by Disney.
Yeah, could have got sued by Disney for sure. Yeah,
I really like the adventure cards a lot. I think they're cool.
It's an interesting mechanic for sure. Yeah,
they went. So have you guys watched any of the streamers that have the fully unlocked accounts so that they can play pretty much any deck? I think it was yesterday and all of today. So they were just streaming whatever they wanted. I saw a lot of the Heroes Downfall adventure creature, the one that has just destroy target planeswalker when it's on its adventure, and then it comes in as It's pretty, it's really strong.
It makes black green mid range like a real thing.
Especially with all the planeswalkers from War of the Spark.
Yeah.
Necessary.
Sure.
Because I don't think Little Teferi and Narset Parter Veils are really going away. They're still good.
Not at all. Yeah. They are gonna be here to stay. And mostly format warping and the understanding that when you make decks or try to play a deck, you have to think to yourself, okay, what happens when there's a Narset? What happens when my opponent has Teferi, which unto itself maybe is a little detrimental, but who knows?
When there's a Narset, I forget that I can't draw extra cards. When there's a Teferi, I forget that I can't flash things in. Sure. That's how that works.
Is that
just me or is that everyone? Because I feel like that's a lot of people you forget that those static effects exist.
I have to correct that at least once during, you know, some sort of standard event that we have at the shop.
Yeah, I've been playing on the Future 2020 standard event lately, and I've been playing just a blue-white control deck and playing Emergency Powers, where you wheel with the Narset Parter Veils out feels really good. Hmm. For you, when it gets done against you, it doesn't feel so good, but I forgot how
your
awful
opponent just
that
feels
is.
Sadness inside.
So no one invites you to parties? Is that the deal?
on Arena, no one invites me to parties in Arena.
I think that one thing that you can do, and I saw this maybe about a month ago at a SCG or during coverage, was someone did not want to forget their Urza's Bauble, or pardon me, their Mishra's Bauble trigger.
Okay.
And
also applicable to Urza's.
Also applicable, of course. But they decided to take this giant, maybe 8x11 piece of cardboard that had written, "Do not forget the trigger," and put it on their cards over their play area.
That's got to be fun to see on camera.
Yeah, on camera it was hilarious. And I just think that we just need to make Teferi and Narset reminders that are that large.
I put dice. I personally set like a die on top of my library, so I remember if I have like an upkeep trigger or an end of turn trigger. But that also is applicable because that don't forget you can't flash cards in, or don't forget you can't draw more than one card per turn, really matters. Because the number of times I've used the message to my opponent, the oops, it's abundant.
Well, now you just need an 8.5 by 11, you know, USPS shipper to remind yourself.
I'll put it on camera when I'm streaming.
Can we write on our cards that are instance, just write on the bottom of the marker and saying cannot be used with Teferi.
Just scratch it out and write sorcery.
Well, yeah, it would be perfect if you had perfect fits. You just take it out of the sleeve, right? Can't cast while Teferi's on board.
Or they have those the ones that go over your perfect fit so that you can put like a design border around them.
But you can
just have it so it's a sorcery and it just goes over the instant when you're playing against a Teferi.
Nice. Yeah.
I think we're onto something.
We are.
One last question, Chef.
Yeah.
If you were to create a Anthony Bourdain or Guy Fieri type show
cooking with magic, shirt flames.
Yeah, Kirk. That was Eldraine food themed. What would you call it?
What would I call it? Obviously there's a low hanging fruit, right? So
yeah.
you might I would think automatically go to something like Cooking with Magic. Cooking with Magic.
Fairy tale magic.
Yeah. Maybe something like, I don't know, plum pudding, right? That's a good one.
Could you call it a spicy brew?
I feel that you asked this question because you want to make fun of my failed YouTube channel, which I consider failed, even though I haven't had time to really produce for it.
I didn't know you had a YouTube channel.
I do. I have a YouTube channel that there's two videos up there, three if you count the intro video.
Okay.
I wanted to make a food channel that basically I designed meals and food items based on streamers, magic streamers.
Okay.
So up there right now is LSV Burrito and the famed double lamb cheeseburger modeled after saffron olives.
Okay.
And I unfortunately had an incident late spring where I just couldn't produce anymore because I had my card stolen and I didn't have time. My laptop was stolen, so I was an intern there. But I should start up filming again maybe this winter when I got a little more time.
Well, as soon as you do, let us know. We'll start sharing that as well.
Tweet at what's your Twitter handle?
So it's at PetroGD or at chef underscore Petro. But you can, I've got my most presence on Instagram, which you can find me at PetroGD, at PetroGD. You could also find my restaurants at Republica MI, at Brujo Detroit, and you'll see me kind of perusing the Twitterverse as a magic and food predator, if you will.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for joining us, my good friend.
All right. Thank you, guys. Yeah. I appreciate it. Good luck with this podcast.
Thank you.
Can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll circle back to see how you think Eldraine is going. After you've drafted some and you've played some, you can let us know how the food tokens work out, because I'm looking forward to sacking and gaining 3 life and grinding out a ton of games.
Sure. And we can call it the Leftovers podcast.
The Leftovers. Yeah, it's a complimentary podcast where Chef Petro always comes on.
Every time you post a dish or like a new food you're working on, you have to post, hashtag Throne of Eldraine food token.
Hashtag Leftovers.
Perfect.
Yeah. I love it.
I'll start hashtagging the podcast too.
Sweet.
Get awesome.
Out yeah.
So I think next we have the Phantom Legends tournament from this past weekend. Do you want to tell us about the deck that won, Brian?
Let me preface this with, all the decks were pretty much rotation proof. I mean, that was the point of the tournament, to have give the audience or whatever a general understanding of maybe how the metagame is going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So the deck that took first place was actually by longtime Magic player and pro Martin Juzum, playing Rakdos Aggro.
Rakdos Aggro.
Yeah. Rakdos Aggro.
I took a look at the deck list and it doesn't look that aggro.
No, but it is definitely one giant creature, or potentially giant creature after another.
Sure.
And then if he doesn't kill you by turn 4, he plays an Experiment Frenzy and like kind of resets the game in a way.
Also, speaking of Experimental Frenzy, remember we mentioned on the podcast, I believe it was last week, we were talking about whether or not there was coffee on Eldraine. Experimental Frenzy literally Ravnica. Experimental Frenzy's flavor text references coffee on Ravnica.
Oh, look at that. Let me got it right here. Okay, so you're right. Experimental Frenzy does say its flavor text is, turns out coffee is a weird aunt of invention.
So did you say aunt or aunt? Do you say aunt?
I normally say aunt, but I wanted it to be emphasis on aunt.
Aunt. So coffees on Ravnica confirmed, everyone. There's coffee and tea, and I was told they are different things. They both provide caffeine, which is something that I need all the time, but I think coffee's better.
Coffee is better.
And when 100%. It comes to tea, do you want sweet tea or unsweetened tea?
Unsweetened tea.
You're a monster.
I want to sweeten it myself.
But you would sweeten it.
Yeah, but sweet tea is different. It's like brewed differently.
Is it, or does it have sugar added? I thought it was just had sugar added.
No, it's...
Can anyone confirm?
Man, where's our chef when we need it and how we brew it?
Our chef just left. We have no idea how to brew sweet tea now.
Okay.
Okay, so back to this deck. So Rakdos Aggro, that has Experimental Frenzy included, but I see a Spawn of Mayhem, which costs 4 mana. I don't view that as aggro.
But it does have Spectacle. So if you deal...
That's true. It
costs cast the spell for its spectacle cost rather than its mana cost if an opponent lost life this turn.
That's true.
Which, in an aggro deck...
You expect to happen.
Yeah. So this deck is way heavier on black than it is on red. And then at the beginning of your upkeep, Spawn of Mayhem deals 1 damage to each player. Then if you have 10 or less life, put a +1/+1 counter on Spawn of Mayhem. This card has inevitability written all over, especially if your opponent is literally at 10 or less life.
So this deck I'm looking right now is it's under $200. It's rotation proof. It's got Dreadhorde Butchers, Fireblade Artists, Gutterbones, Knight of the Eben Legion. Your lands are...
Well, it has riding.
Nothing special. 9 mountains, 11 swamps, and 4 blood grips.
Yeah. To be fair, we don't have all the dual lands yet. Or the second dual land, I should say.
Sure.
You could play, not Bloodfell Caves, whatever the end of
the one that comes in tap and you gain a life.
Yeah, you could play that. I mean,
black,
really
red colors.
To. Yeah. But only has. 2 Shock, 2 Bedevil, and 4 Lava Coil is its removal main board.
But it plays Rotting Regisaur, and that makes me really happy for a 7-6 for 3.
Combo with Gutter Bones.
Oh, because you can discard the Gutter Bones and then pay 2 and return it from your graveyard to your hand if an opponent has lost life. Wow. I really like this. So I actually like aggro decks. I think in Constructed, I really like playing aggro decks. I mean, I have control at heart, but I think... As soon as rotation hits, people really like to play aggro decks, and they do really well. Like, generally, people say that Mono Red is the best deck in the format for, like, the first 2 weeks. Then after that, people start kind of figuring it out a bit.
Usually, it's like an aggro control meta, and then people figure out mid-range kind of strategy. And that kind of fits in how to beat, you know, those two strategies. Let's see, in the sideboard, it has 1 Bedevil, 2 Chandra... Acolyte of Flame, 4 Duress, which is Andy's favorite card this week, 4 Legion's End, and 4 Noxious Grasp.
He says that because I got Duressed on MTG Arena today for the first time. It feels really bad to get essentially Thought Seized on turn 1. In standard Thought Seized feels bad.
But correct.
When they take my Narset Parter of Veils. I wanted that.
Do you think the card, I forget the name of it, but you can discard a card from your non-land spell from your opponent's hand... if it's not black, you have to exile a card out of your hand.
I have literally no idea what card that is. Is it in standard?
It's in Throne of Eldraine. Let me see if I can find it really fast.
While you're doing that, to round out the top 8 in the Phantom Legends tournament, there was Rakdos Aggro, a Team of Reclamation, Esper Citadel, Team of Reclamation again, 2 Boros Feathers, a Jeskai Planeswalker, and then Naya Feather.
I think now that certain strategies have rotated, I think Niv-Mizzet is going to be a really good card.
Five color Niv? Yeah, I mean, in standard.
No, not that Niv. Not the Reborn.
Oh, the blue, red.
The Perun or Perun.
Niv-Mizzet Perun?
Perun, yeah. Is that how you say it?
I think it's Perun, yeah. Perun, so whenever you draw a card, you ping any target for 1, and then whenever a player casts an instant or a sorcery, you draw a card?
Yes. Whenever you draw a card, you ping.
Yeah, right. So whenever you draw a card, you ping. And then whenever... I've got it right here.
Whenever you draw a card, Niv-Mizzet Perun deals one damage to any target. Whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery, you draw a card.
Yeah, so including yourself. So you play an instant or sorcery, you draw, you can ping. I think that card is great. You said this is seeing play, or you just think that this will see play?
Well, obviously it's in both the team of Reclamation. It's a good finisher. Red, I think, will be a good color to start just because of the decent removal. Also, Expansion Explosion and paired with Wilderness Reclamation.
Sure.
Will be good because you can, you know, obviously put your Wilderness Reclamation ability on the stack and then untap and then, you know, Expansion Explosion.
I also like that Niv-Mizzet Perun cannot be countered.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's counterproof.
It is counterproof.
And a 5/5 flyer, so it's a really good card.
He is a really big body, and then he is a really good commander, too, on top of that.
Yeah, I've lost that commander deck a few times. Really good.
Correct.
So, did you find the card you were talking about from Throne of Eldraine?
Yes, it's called Spectre Shriek. 1 black. Target opponent reveals their hand. You may choose a non-land card from it. If you do, that player exiles that card. If a non-black card is exiled this way, exile a card from your hand. So we'll see if that sees play. I mean, I could see it being on the sideboard.
What does it cost to cast? One
black.
I'm so upset. But,
I mean, to be fair, it is a 2-for-1, 2-for-1 in yourself to get rid of, you know, a card.
That's potentially true. And it might not be that good unless you've got really good stuff to follow it up. But there's a lot of good stuff in Standard right now. I think there's a lot of strong decks. Maybe I like seeing new cards, so I wouldn't be so sad about that if it leads to some interesting brews.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for Throne of Eldraine to kind of shake up the Standard a little
bit. Shake up the meta.
Shake it off. Shake it off.
Guess what we have next?
What do we have next?
An MTG Arena update. There was the State of Game announcement for September. It's September. It's September, guys. Almost October.
Almost.
But it's still September.
Still September.
And we
are
have
you
a,
sure?
We have a massive. Okay.
It's a little.
Okay, so I have subheaders on on our notes. And it goes to subheader H, guys. There's a lot of updates on this, folks. But I guess it starts with B. I don't know why it doesn't start with A. So it really shows.
We'll chalk that up to Word. Microsoft Word.
Thanks, Microsoft Word. If you would like to be our sponsor, please sponsor us.
We accept you for all your faults. We appreciate your ability to go to
user error. I didn't start with A. So if you haven't seen, there's a huge update for Arena. Tomorrow, Throne of Eldraine releases on MTG Arena. And
what?
I'm really excited, but also sad. I would like to, in remembrance of my favorite deck,
in memoriam
to my deck that is leaving, there is a deck called Omniscience Combo, and it's gone. After this podcast, I'm probably going to play it like 5 to 50 more times tonight, and then it's gone. It is my favorite deck that I played in Standard. I got to. Oh man, I play the deck a lot. I'm really sad it's rotating. I'm also sad about our mana bases that are leaving because we're losing a lot of lands from Dominaria.
And
the dual colored lands from Dominaria.
And Ixalan.
And we're losing the Ixalan and Rivals of Ixalan sets. And
well, there's also cards in Ixalan. I was looking at, but yeah.
But I'm sad about both of those.
I'm sad about Jade Light Ranger leaving Standard.
I'm not, actually. I played that deck for a while, the Sultai
Midrange.
Explore. Sultai Explore. Oh, yeah. That was a fun deck.
It was.
Do you all remember that? It was a fun deck if you played that on Arena or at your local LGS's FNM. That was a very Command the Dread Horde, Sultai Explore was a great deck. You're like, I'm going to go down to one life and explore 12 times and gain so much life.
It was so annoying. You're like, I got you at one because you dreadhorded. And they're like, I'm going to gain a bunch of life.
I'm going to gain so much
you
life.
You lose.
So Throne of Eldraine comes out tomorrow. So that's exciting.
Very exciting.
We are also leaving beta. And the game is officially launching as of 9/26. So
beta edition, the second set ever in Magic?
Kind of like that.
Really? We're going to unlimited? As in, you can
we're
play.
Going to Arena Unlimited, but it's not white border because that's trash.
That is trash.
I don't like white border cards. That's just, there's a every few time, that you can't avoid.
Every time I get a customer a white border card, they always look at me like, give me the death stare.
There's a few cards that I honestly didn't realize were only in white border. And I was like, do you have this in black border? And the LGS was like, no, this is never printed in not white border.
Or we can go with like a revised Mind Twist, which is like
it was only
50 cents. Or you can have, well, I guess they reprinted that recently, but you can have a beta one for like $500. And you're like, give me the 50 cent one.
I'll take the one for 50 cents.
Yeah.
So we're leaving beta. And as of tomorrow, if you have an account or you create an account before tomorrow, so there's a very limited audience that is going to hear this, I think, before tomorrow, you will also get an avatar and a card sleeve for participating as part of the beta of Fibblethip. So you can have your avatar be Fibblethip, and there's really cool card sleeves.
Is that how you pronounce it? I always just went, the Lost.
Yes. Fibblethip. The Lost. So they also said in October, a friends list is being added, so you'll be able to challenge friends. You can challenge friends today, but they're adding an actual friends list. So you can do direct challenges based on your usernames, but they're adding a friends list. They're looking to add a social aspect to the game. Additionally, Constructed Brawl is coming to Arena, so you can build your own Brawl deck. I know I'm going to be streaming a lot of Brawl. I'm really excited. It's standard Commander. So once we get closer to that, I'll post my stream schedule. But we got to see the courtside Throne of Eldraine Brawl. If anyone played in that, there were four different decks. Those are going to be released in paper pretty soon as well. But we got to play those on Arena. It was really fun. It was really smooth, understanding where your commander was.
Oh, nice.
It automatically calculates the commander tax into that. So you'll be able to build your own commander deck based on cards that are legal and standard. I would really like to build Taysa Karlov in standard. It seems like a really fun brawl deck to play on Arena. I play it in paper today, but I can play with the cards in standard to give it a little bit of a different feel. Additionally, there are some items that they have in development over the next few months. So they want to include friends messaging, rolling out Arena to the Mac OS platform, so yep. People can play on that. They are developing right now the Theros Beyond Death and Ikoria Lair of Behemoth cards. They announced that they're programming those currently into Arena.
Cool.
And then they also mentioned things that are currently being discussed conceptually, like Cube Draft. So shout out to our follower, Cube Draft, because I'm really excited for that. I bet you'd be excited to draft, but I have no idea if it's just standard cards, if it's all cards that were ever on Arena.
Right. Maybe it might be part of the historic format rollout.
It could be.
Yeah,
so
that'd be cool.
It looks like they're looking to add Cube to Arena, which is really cool because I think Cube's a really fun format. You can do specific, like I have a Ravnica Cube. So among Guilds of Ravnica, like I guess Guilds, Ravnica, Allegiance, and War of the Spark, the Return to Ravnica block, and then the original Ravnica City of Guilds block, I have a cube that has cards from all of those sets, but it'd be really fun to be able to build a cube constructed deck, or I guess just a constructed cube on Arena as well that you can draft with friends. So I'm assuming if they have cube in mind, that means that they're going to be expanding this to be able to play with multiple people, up to eight, because cubes have up to eight people.
Yeah.
So they've got to be looking at multiplayer here.
So I guess how would that work if somebody didn't own all those cards?
I think you're gonna
would
have
it be
to.
Shared like
maybe it's shared, like you log into one person's account and you draft their cube, and
or maybe
and
maybe you're just inviting them to your session, if you will.
Yeah, maybe they have like you set up like an event and they show up to yours.
Yeah.
But if they're gonna do cube and you can have potentially up to eight people on that, it leads me to believe that potentially we could have brawl with up to four people instead of just 1v1. Which
hopefully
could lead to full commander, even if it's just cards that are on Arena and it's not full commander, because obviously that's a lot of cards I have to program.
Because Brawl is 60 cards still, right?
Brawl is still 60 cards.
Singleton. I mean, besides planes. I'm sorry, not planes. Basic lands.
Besides, yeah, it's 60 cards total. So that's exciting. So they said that these are just items that are being discussed conceptually. I'm excited about that announcement. And once they add friend lists, it sounds like we might be able to get potentially even like regular draft formats with humans instead of just bots. Because right now you just draft against computer.
Lame.
And then there's two huge events that are coming up real soon. And I'm really excited about these. There are it's for the launch celebration, and it's a two-part standard event. So it's play any deck, win every card. So from September 26th, so tomorrow, to October 1st, Arena is providing play sets, so four copies of every card in standard, which you can use to build and play any deck in standard, and you can build as many decks as you want, and you can change them in between matches. So it costs nothing. It's standard best of one, and you can play up to 12 games. So just you can play with any deck to try and figure out what you like, maybe try out some crazy brews. It'll give you everything so you can test it out. So that's over the next couple of days, like literally from tomorrow through the end of the weekend, really. It goes till next week, Tuesday.
Perfect.
And then there's a follow-up event. So after you play with every card in standard and kind of figure out maybe what you think is the best or what you like, there's an event that's called Win Every Card Challenge. So they're going to give you, again, a playset of four cards of every single card in standard that you can build. The event is from October 5th to October 7th. There's no cost, and it is a best of one format. So there are 12 games. It says the event record is for 12 wins or up to two losses total. So after you lose two times, you're done.
You gone.
So for 0 to 1 wins, you get a Throne of Eldraine rare and a golden egg card sleeve. So everybody's getting the card sleeve. For 2 to 3 wins, you get 2 rares. 4 to 5 wins, you get 3 rares. 6 to 7, you get 4 rares. Obviously, all these include the card sleeve. 8 wins is 5 rares. So for 9 to 10 wins, you get a sealed event token, 5 rares, and a golden card, a golden egg sleeve. For 11 wins, you get 1 copy of every single card in Throne of Eldraine, a sealed event token, and a golden egg card sleeve. And then for 12 wins, you get 1 copy of every single card in standard, a sealed event token, and a golden egg card sleeve. So you get one of every card in standard, not just Throne of Eldraine. So that's a lot of wild cards that you didn't have to go through.
It's true, yeah.
So I think that's really exciting. And then the Eldraine set mastery is coming up. So if you're interested in that, you can get a little fox that sits on the side of your battlefield while you play. And then you also...
Would you play with a fox in a box?
Yes. I didn't get the cat with the wings. I have the gems for it, but I wasn't really interested in the cat, the one that you could click on and it would just hiss at you if it was your opponent's cat. But this one seems really fun. And then it also comes with the card sleeve from Seb McKinnon, which is the planeswalker symbol that has like the I guess like a kingdom. It's like a little castle. Looks really cool.
A little bit, yep.
So those events are all coming up. And there's also a code if you haven't used it yet. There's a code 5 bonus levels to earn exactly what it says, 5 levels. So input that code 5 bonus levels on Arena. Depending on where you are, it might actually make a difference.
Sure.
So that's what we have coming up with MTG Arena. I'm really excited and I'm looking forward to drafting a ton of Throne of Eldraine.
That is what I do on Arena most.
Yeah, draft. You draft, and you do really well on a.
I usually free up like several events just because of draft.
Just because you do so well.
Yeah.
What's next?
So we got a not Twitter submitted question.
Yes.
After you choose your commander, what is your next step?
When building your commander decks, yeah.
That would be a complete sentence.
Complete sentence. That I did not type out in our notes. That's why I completed it. Okay. So once you pick your commander, you've really looked for the type of deck you want to build and all of the specific maybe mechanics that you're looking to work with or a specific play type. What do you do next? So I guess I probably do a little bit of Googling. I look up. Well, no, I've picked what I want to do, so I know that. What do you do next?
So since I've probably built countless number of commander decks for customers, I kind of got it down to a science a bit, even okay. for myself.
Okay.
So after I pick a commander, obviously, for me, most commanders have one specific theme that works for it. I mean, obviously, there are some that have multiple abilities or whatever. Like currently, I'm building Kadena, Slinking Sorcerer.
Morph.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no telegraph in that she has more than one ability. She only has one. And for me to start, I actually, because it's a creature-heavy deck, I try and look up synergies for among creatures. With this, obviously, anything that pretty much has morph has synergy within the deck. But even, I guess even before that, I try and pick out a mana base first, because that's usually the most expensive part of a deck.
So you start with mana base before you pick all the cards. So you like you get your commander and then you go, let me start with lands.
Yeah, because generally, I mean, especially in a three color deck, trying to get as many dual lands, quote unquote, into a deck usually doesn't change, even if you shift around creatures and stuff. I mean, usually, it, you know, obviously the more the merrier for dual lands, but, you know, but for Kadena specifically, I've actually started with creatures. I've kind of forgone because I have most of the lands to begin with anyway. But I've picked up the majority of the creatures. The thing that I'm struggling with is which non-creature spells in the deck that complement all this morph and stuff I've been struggling with.
Which you just recently tweeted about. So if you take a look, he did post a lot of cards that he already has included as auto includes, like these are in the deck. So if you have, for Kadena specifically, if you have any auto includes, email us or find his post on Twitter, which was just, I think it was actually today.
Yeah.
Let us know what you would play.
For sure.
I suggested Dream Chisel and Leyline of Anticipation.
Yes.
You want Flash, and I think you want your morph to be cheaper.
Yeah. Actually, with the help of Loot Precon, which is our friend Kyle, and then this is Keys _ PTW. They actually gave me several. I mean, there's countless people who responded, and I'm thankful for all of them. But they went above and beyond to help me with you know, card choices. And there's actually a top 10 list. Leyline of Anticipation was on there. Villainous Wealth.
Oh,
which
I
personally had to question at first, not because, you know, I don't like the card or anything. I just had to understand, get into the mindset of, why is this card in here? Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, it's an X spell that, you know, you play after, you know, your opponent's top of their deck, and you can play them for free.
Sure.
But I was like, there isn't a way to, like, you know, mana excel or anything, really, in most Kadena lists that I've seen. And then, you know, Marquise actually explained to me that, you know, you just want to do it late in the game. I mean, very few commander games go short, right? You know, it's kind of a recreational long game, and it's like, if you do it for x equals 10, I mean, that's
great,
that's huge. Yeah, so
that's really good.
I figured that was, I just had to come to an understanding. But Words of Wind is another one that was suggested to me.
Okay.
So every time, the next time you would draw a card this turn, each opponent returns a permanent he or she controls their hand instead.
So with morph, with Kadena allowing you to play stuff, at least the first morph, for free, it doesn't feel so bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that the thought?
Yeah,
I think it's a good card.
Yeah, because instead of you know, drawing for your ability, it's like, hey, bounce your land. I mean, especially if you can play several creatures per turn, right?
Right, right. Ugin the Ineffable, automatically included for that.
Yeah, his passive colorless creature costs 2 less to cast. It goes above and beyond. Cyclonic Rift, which, I mean, that's pretty much, is that an auto-include in every blue deck?
I guess.
Depending,
and that's a discussion for another day, but yes, yeah. I think it is.
Casualties of War.
That's a new card from War of the Spark, but I also think it's really good.
Yeah, it's a better version of, what's the other one?
Decimate.
Decimate, yep.
It's a better Decimate because you don't have to legally have all the targets at the time of resolution.
Yeah, I know. That kind of got me with Decimate several times.
Sure has.
Zendikar Resurgent, which is just a free draw spell for any creature deck. And then you can doubles up your mana.
Sure.
So,
Dream Chisel, as you suggested, Death Sprout. That's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. To be an auto include for Kadena.
But, sure.
I mean, Black Green, you know, destroy a creature, get a land. So
I play that in a few commander decks. It's really good.
Yeah, and then Alchemist Refuge, which, you know, tap the land and Ugg Blue and a green, you can play your spells as though it had flash. Nice. 10 was Vamp Tutor, which is one of the best tutors
it's
ever
a
made.
Tutor. Yep.
Brawl's Expertise, bounce two, is it two or three non-land permanents?
I think it's three.
Three, and then you can play something with three or less from your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Mystic Confluence, which does literally everything you need it to, and then Cryptic Command also does need everything you need it to.
So you got a lot of good responses.
Yeah, so now that I have a better understanding of Kadena, then, you know, moving forward, the supporting non-creature spells, it makes it a lot easier to build a deck.
So I think I do it a little differently. So when I pick my commander, right? So I know this question says after you've picked your commander, but I think I start picking my commander first based on something that I don't already do. Brian made a joke when we were trying to come up with our show notes. He was like, if the commander says make a token, Andy's probably making the deck, because the chances are the answer is you are correct and I am going to make that deck. Or if it says draw cards, I would likely also make that one. So I think once I pick the commander that does something that I don't currently do, I always go to EDH Rec first. I go and I just look see what's there. Yeah. And there's a lot of controversy on this, because a lot of people argue that it leads to less creative deck building, because you're essentially net decking based on the most commonly played cards for that commander, which I wouldn't necessarily disagree with, but I don't always take all of them. I would say I have a Locust God deck. I really like the Locust God. And in Draws cards and makes tokens. In that deck, when you look at the top cards and the top creatures, I don't even think I run half of them. I would rather play something else. I always go there first, and what I do is I kind of start with like a rough list of like the ones that are like the ones that I think are the most popular or the ones that I think are the most useful or synergistic with my commander. But I personally don't run good stuff decks. So some people just run a commander that has a good ability in good colors, and then they play the good cards in those good colors. I don't have any of those decks. I'm going to qualify this. Almost every commander I have relies on the commander. Very few of them rely on just the cards in the deck as opposed to not casting the
commander. I would agree with that. Yeah. That's what I would notice about your play style.
Yeah. I build the commander deck based on the commander. I don't run a five color deck playing Chromat.
Sure.
Just so I have five colors.
Jam everything.
I have a five color Jota deck that relies on playing white, blue, black, red, green to cast some giant spell for free.
Right.
For five, as opposed to like 11 or whatever it was going to cost.
Sure.
So I personally, once I pick my commander, I look up that commander on Tapped Out. I look on EDH Rec. Sometimes I'll tweet about it and just ask what people's thoughts are. And then,
which is a good idea,
I start making my decision. But I also go to Tapped Out and I play test hands of people who have decks that I think that I would like to see what I would draw, to kind of play through it, to goldfish it. Because if you do that, you'll see what you do and don't like. Because if you start playing it, you realize that if you're playing a deck that is a little more competitive, let's say it only runs like 30 to 35 lands because it has a lot of artifact ramp, and you go, you know what, this just is not what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Then don't build it.
Right.
But play test it. You can make your own paper proxies. We've done that before when testing Modern. Mm-hmm. I would say figure out what you like to do in Magic. I have learned that I like making tokens, I like drawing cards, and I like playing control. That's just me. It's not for everyone. And I tend to gravitate towards those commanders. So once I picked my commander that generally does one of those three things,
right?
Then I look up what other people have done in the past. And then I generally throw in the cards that I like. There are some cards that I play, even if they're not necessarily the best card in the format.
Fair enough.
So
I would say I like to play creature control, which is why I've kind of gravitated away from like
My very first deck that I ever built for EDH was Omnath, Locus of Rage.
Same Z's. We both built the same first deck.
Yeah. I was like, man, I'll never play Commander ever. And then Andy's like, I'm playing this new format called Commander. Let's play it. I'm like, okay. And then just like without a blink of an eye. And he handed me Omnath. Oh, yeah, you played mine first.
Yeah, didn't
and I was
you?
Like, this is the deck that I want to play because I like red and I like green. And I like being aggressive.
And you like ramping.
I like ramping.
It's good stuff.
But then Lord Windgrace came out and I'm like, eh, this is kind of not like, it just seems kind of silly. And then I actually like saw it played and then I'm like, okay, this is, in my opinion, a better Omnath deck. It's like more consistent. You get Omnath as a sub commander.
Sure.
And then you also get Gitrog Monster.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's good. It's so good. It belongs in that deck.
Yeah. But I like playing,
Did you play Glacial Chasm in that deck?
Yes.
You're a monster. And I love it.
I also play Thespian Stage and Dark Thefts, which might not be that great in Commander, but it is also fun just to make a 20/20 out of nowhere, sure. Literally for free.
Heck yeah.
And then you can just recur it with Lord Windgrace. Why
absolutely.
Not? Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's kind of my favorite Commander, but also building Kandina. So, you know.
Nice. Well, I hope we answered that question.
Yeah.
That's what we do after we picked our Commander. That's probably what we would... That's what I do all the time. To be fair, I feel like I always have a tab opened on Chrome because I use Chrome.
Yeah.
It's not Internet Explorer. And I always have a tab open to EDH Rec and tapped out. I feel like I literally feel like I always have those two tabs open and I'm looking at a new commander deck. I've looked at so many commander decks that I feel like they're changing with every set that comes out that sometimes I wouldn't have liked it and now I like it.
Well, I finally built Feather. The Redeemed.
Feather's great.
Yeah, and I always check like with my commander decks, like, you know, every time a set comes out, if I should update it, you know, because EDH Rec always has suggested new cards and reprintings and stuff.
Sure.
And it suggested Dockside Extortionist from Commander 19, and I'm like, well, I don't really want to spend $25 on that card.
But it's so good.
But it is so good.
So I added it to my Duretti Scrap Savant deck. And I played it and made, I think I made like 11 that turn.
That seems like it's the average. It's like 10 on turn like 4 or something.
And then it died and someone else reanimated it and then they made a bunch. It's just, it's really good. I think it's, I don't think it's underrated. I think it's at the right price point.
Yep.
The card's not going to go down in price.
Oh yeah.
It's really good. And it's the most expensive. Is that the most expensive card from Commander 2019? I think it is.
If not, it is for sure top two, but I believe it is the most expensive.
It's ridiculous, and I love it, and I wish I owned like 5.
Yeah, I think second is, how do you say it? Kirk?
Kirk?
Yeah, Son of Yawgmoth.
Son of Yawgmoth.
Yeah, that I watched that commander deck go off. That deck is nuts, too, because you cast everything for free.
It's great. That yep. and... Yeah, really, really good stuff. Yep. So
yeah, this past commander year was very good.
That is how we build our commander decks once we picked our commanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that brings us to our last item of this week, which is the Ravnica story update. So there are still stories being released even as of today. So I know we mentioned that this might be the last one. This is definitely not the last one. We might circle back in a few weeks. We're going to give it a few weeks to make sure that the story, the prequel to War of the Spark, has come out. But we'll circle back to what's been going on. So,
all right.
As they're working towards the summit, Bolas did reach out to Vraska and basically tells her that he's disappointed that she's plotting against him. And she said she got what he needed from Ixalan and that she fulfilled her end of the bargain. And he said, well, I understand that, but I planned for you to betray me. So
what?
Yeah, he was like, I accounted for this. And so to basically kind of like threaten her, he started controlling some of the zombies that were in like her current vicinity and said, just understand I can control them. So don't mess with me. So you kind of see her at a crossroads because she starts to plot against him, but also she kind of did what he wanted. So I guess we're going to see what happens with her. So it's the day of the summit. All the guilds have agreed to attend. Niv-Mizzet had to do some work personally to get the Gruul to come, but everybody showed up. Okay. So Niv-Mizzet, being the leader of the Izzet League, tells everyone about his plan to leave the Izzet League and become pretty much like an all-powerful being. And he was like, you can make me the guild pact. I believe Jace is dead. I don't think he's going to help us. So can you all just work together to make me stronger? So none of the guilds are really happy about this. And the Simic specifically are real mad. They tell everyone to go talk to their law mages at the end of the day. And they were like, you can all just talk about this and figure out whether or not we think that this is appropriate or not. Because we really don't think it's appropriate. Because they said, we have no way to trust you. We don't know if you're actually going to leave the Izzet. And we don't really want to give you all the power. So
fight the power.
Fight the power that night. So that night, though, Vraska gets a note to go to the conference chamber with no guards. There's just like a note under her door. So everybody goes back to like their own respective rooms at like the meeting of the guild hall area. And so she goes down there and Asperia is there alone. And so they talk for a bit and Vraska explains how her life was super awful and Asperia made it worse by imprisoning her when she, air quotes, thought the Golgari had gotten too strong. And so Asperia said that she regretted the decision at the time when they started imprisoning the Golgari and that she thought the plan was poorly executed. So Vraska nonchalantly said, you know, if you had to do it again, would you? And Asperia said, well, if we thought the Golgari were too strong, yeah, I'd do it again. And Vraska turns her to stone and was like, yeah, I don't like that answer. So she just kills her.
What?
Yeah. So at this point, all the other guilds figured out that Vraska was working for Bolas, and she's pretty much been pegged as an enemy of Ravnica since she killed Asperia. So four of the guilds were all... yeah, we're not helping anymore. We're gonna go back and do our own thing. So that was the Gruul and the Golgari and the Simic and Selesnya. The rest were kind of all still on board, but those four said, we're out. Like, we're not cool with what just happened, and we don't want anything to happen to us, so we're out. So Rael is trying to figure out a backup plan to kind of get all the guilds together. So his plan is to alter the magic of the guild pact, which is like based on the energy of the world itself. Mm-hmm. And he says to strengthen Niv-Mizzet without the help of all the guilds being present, we can set up like these resonators, but these machines have to be set up in each of the guild's territories. And with those four guilds not being cooperative, they have to figure out how to get the resonators into those guild areas. So Rael asks Aurelia if the Boros will help him gain access to Gruul territory, and she agrees, and there's this huge fight, and the Gruul end up being backed out of their area, and they set up the equipment, and then they have to set up in the Golgari area. Aurelia again agrees that she'll lead her troops there, and Dovin Bahn promises to send Azori soldiers, and that's where they're headed next. Really? So that is where we will end the story for a little bit. There are still stories coming out. I'm not quite sure how many more chapters there are before the end of the prequel stories happen, but they are still trying to figure out whether or not they are going to be able to set up the equipment to make Niv-Mizzet the all-powerful creature that he desires to be.
Or to be reborn as.
The Reborn. And that is actually the end of our podcast this week.
Really?
Do you have any other items that you wanted to add? You know what? Actually, I have one more item. Okay. So I think we should do this. So there is, I don't know if you've heard about it yet, but there's the Great Eldraine Bake Off. Have you heard about it? It reminds me of the Great British Bake Off.
I did read that. I don't know fully what it's about. But.
So basically, they're looking for Eldraine-inspired dishes, so like pies or puddings.
Why don't we ask the chef this?
I know. We didn't ask the chef this, and I'm so sad that we missed it, but your wife is also a chef.
That's true. We could ask her.
And so...
She knows how to draw, too.
She does, as you saw in our post the other week. So they're looking for pies, puddings, roasts, soups, desserts, pretty much anything you can think of. And they want you to make something and post it on Twitter with hashtag Eldraine Bake Off. And so they're going to pick their top 10 favorite creators to give them prizes based on their culinary abilities. And I really think that we should probably participate. It seems really fun. There's been a lot of really cool things posted on Twitter. There's like a really cool book that was posted. Someone had like written in it. It looked like an old, like a, like the pages were a little bit yellowed. It was written in old, like the old English style text. Mm-hmm. So first place gets the Throne of Eldraine Deluxe Edition. So the special deluxe edition that comes with like the promo cards, the booster packs, the binder, just a lot of stuff in that. One premium full foil set of Throne of Eldraine. It says one premium full set of War of the Spark and 10 Throne of Eldraine packs for MTG Arena. Second place is one premium foil full set of Throne of Eldraine, one premium foil set of War of the Spark, and 10 packs on Arena. So you don't get the deluxe edition. And then fourth through 10th place. Oh, that was second and third. I'm sorry. And then fourth through 10th gets a premium foil set of War of the Spark and 10 Throne of Eldraine packs on MTG Arena. So we should look into this. We should, we have to reach out to Petro. For sure. Wait, to see, yeah. Because this is a really cool event that they're looking for content creators to participate. It really anyone to participate, honestly, just to make something. I've seen a lot of gingerbread men created, gingerbread ladies. Someone made a giant gingerbread man and had it. They did like the frosting and it looks like Garouk. So this is a really cool event. You should work with Angela, see if there's something that she can think of that she'd want to make for this. But basically the... all entries must be received by 11:59 p.m. on October 4th. So we have pretty much like through the weekend and the beginning of next week.
Is that Pacific or Eastern?
It doesn't say.
Interesting. I'd assume it's Pacific time.
I would assume it's Pacific, which means that we have till like 2 a.m. almost 3 a.m. But if you're waiting till the last minute, you probably shouldn't do
that. Why? Some of my best work came last minute from school.
Yeah, college. You have that thing called Moodle Midnight. If anyone else used Moodle, we did. Yeah. And you had to have your stuff posted by 11:59 p.m.
Yep.
Yeah, that brings back memory. So anyways, you can look at for those on Twitter at hashtag Eldraine Bake Off. And I really think that we should do something for this. It seems like a lot of fun.
For sure. One final thing that I saw on Twitter, my favorite thing from Throne of Eldraine was it was a tweet that said, "My Throne of Eldraine is what I called my toilet."
Throne of Eldraine.
Eldraine.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yep.
So I think that's the end of our week. So thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah. And thanks to Chef Petro for coming out and spending his time, you know, with us losers, you know?
Yes. You guys are all the best. If you would like to contact us, you can find us on Twitter at Guardian Pod. You can find me on Twitter at AT Flory.
And me at Ballerman Cometh.
Take a look for hashtag Guardian Project Pod to find our posts and episodes. We'd like to hear from you, so send along your comments and any topics you'd like us to talk about, and we'll go over those on the next episode. You can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. I actually like to participate in the bake-off thing. That'd be really fun. And if you and Angela are free on Friday, you should come over. We could totally do something. Okay. For real, like, we can figure out a couple recipes. We can do whatever.
I thought you guys had your...
Wait, I know this song.
It's an 80s take on Numb. From-